Hello and welcome to Near FM, coming to Mullan Fifty in 90.3. And on the line now we have Maureen Kavanagh, and she's CEO of the Act of Retirement Ireland. And she wants to speak about language, believe it or not, and ageism and ageist language as such. And hello, Maureen, can you hear me?
I can indeed. How are you?
Not too bad. A great day it is, too.
Yes, thank God.
Now, you have a problem with regard to language, is it? You know, language, we all have to speak it, and some people are very bad at it, and some people are very good at it, and some people are very loud at it.
Yes.
But what exactly had you got in mind?
Well, I suppose our problem started with a piece of press coverage around older people who have to be in hospital being called bed blockers. And we just felt that, look, this is ageist language being used in the media to describe people who are sick. If you're in hospital then and you're not being discharged and you can't be discharged until you have the proper supports in place, you're still sick. So calling older people bed blockers, we feel, doesn't do them, doesn't give them any respect, and it certainly doesn't acknowledge that they are the same as everybody else in hospital. They're sick.
Yes, and that has been, that the language has been around now for quite a while, and
Yeah, and it's very unfair because there's no other age cohort would be called bed blockers because they can't be released from hospital without the supports. But yes, it seems to be okay to call anyone over the age of 65, you're a bed blocker because you're taking up a bed in a hospital that could be used by someone under 65, younger. So it is very unfair.
Yes, well, of course, that brings up a whole lot of other things with regard to the system itself. You know, the patient in hospital would prefer to be possibly at home with carers or maybe in some cases. Into a nursing home, now, which is only 5% of the people are in nursing home. They aren't all old. You know, and it seems that people seem to be getting bracketed, you know.
Yeah.
The old fogey and all this type of thing, yeah.
That's right. And we are ageist as a society. We do, you know, even our members and the different cohorts of age groups that we have in our 25,000 members, we can look at other older people and say, all those older people over there. Or we find that a lot of our politicians would talk about older people as if it's not them and us. Because we will definitely be older one day, all of us, you know what I mean, if we're not there already.
You better so believe it's just, it.
Absolutely. So it is, you know, it can be very annoying. And you're dead right. And there are people in hospitals and they're really, they need those extra supports to get home. The majority of people that are older in hospitals want to go home with the care packages in place. And that, you're right, it is a system that is holding that up. Also, for the unfortunate number of older people, and as you said, not always older people, but very ill people who have to go into nursing home care. Again, families have to wait until the Fair Deal has been approved and signed off before there will be a nursing home place available that they can afford to pay for. So the system isn't supporting the moving around of sick and dependent people. And because people are then being left in hospitals, then that's what's wrong. That is the system that is wrong.
I personal experience of this now, that a person that could be well able to provide for themselves with assistance, and it's usually somebody belongs to the family, a son-in-law or son or daughter-in-law or daughter. who will help out and with the care with the assistance of care or carers calling maybe whatever time, once a day, twice a day, three times a day, and they're just quite well able to exist in the community and be an active part of the community they came from, and at the same time, to keep a person in hospital, it costs €800 a day.
Yeah.
And carers could be provided at 100 a day, so it doesn't make financially sense.
No, you're right. It doesn't. It doesn't even make sense to be, you know, if somebody is in a hospital bed, and they're ready to be able to move to the next step and need the supports in place, it doesn't make financial sense to keep them in a hospital bed.
No, it doesn't.
It makes much more financial sense to allow them to go home to their homes and communities with the care that they need in place. But that isn't in place yet, and it is the system that is really, really falling down and letting our older people down big time in this country.
Yes, and of course, and the hospital authorities are pulling their hair out. They're saying we have room if the people could be moved, and you know, the term bed blockers. Now, that's only one term that could be used against senior citizens as such, and we're getting we're producing about 2,500 a month people over 65 years of age, and sooner or later in the country we'll have more older people than younger people, and where are we going today? Nobody's thinking of that, you know, and it takes
and the unfortunate thing is that if we were to look at that, if you're to flip the coin on that and have a look at the growing population of the over 65s and the contribution that people are making to their communities by volunteering, the contribution that they're making to their families by helping out with either finances or babysitting, the contribution they're making to the economy by spending their time on short breaks around Ireland and going to coffee shops and just spending their few bob that they have, the little pension that they have, in the local area and the local shops, and respecting that contribution of older people. That's if we were to flip the coin, then the growing population of older people will be seen as a bounty for Ireland, not as a problem. Yeah. And that's ageist language as well, to call it, there's a problem coming down the way. There isn't.
It depends. Well, of course, government's only thinking 4-year terms anyway. That's about the most they think in 4 or 5 year terms.
I know.
And you think that at this moment of time they should have at least sort of ring fenced something that would provide for the future with regard to the senior population as such, and
there are models out there where when people are engaged in their communities, when they're doing things, when they're keeping themselves busy, they're healthier, they're more active, they're holding up whole communities by volunteering on Meals and Wheels and Vincent DePaul, the Tidy Towns. There literally are the backbone of communities is our older people in the main. They're in the GAA, they're in all sorts of activities around rural Ireland and in urban Ireland. It is a massive bounty, and it's important now for the government to put in place the National Positive Ageing Strategy, which would start to work towards ensuring that everybody, and that means the child born today, will have a healthy and positive ageing, because more than likely a child born today will reach the age of 100.
Well, there's some people thinking that it might be even 120, but we won't go there.
Could well be. And wouldn't it be nice that we could say that that will be a healthy 120?
And such. But then everything depends on the availability. The finance and anything that's available, and but of course Brexit and all this coming down the line, there's no certainty that that will be done. But I think the ageing strategy in itself, it should be implemented to some degree now, and additions put on further during the years go by.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Active Retirement Ireland would agree with you 100% on that. It is a good strategy, albeit it was produced in 2013, but still, it's got a framework for how Ireland could be a good age-friendly country. And there are similar strategies in other countries, and they can. Like, it can be done. I know it's difficult to plan, and then you're basing it on the evidence that you have today, which is we have a cohort of people who are not well, have falls, have aging problems. But however, what we're looking to aim towards is to ensure that generations coming up have the awareness, have the health awareness programs in place, know how to prevent the cardiovascular diseases. All of that, that's what's called putting a positive aging strategy in place. And even our current people today, you can reverse some of the major cardiovascular diseases with proper health care and prevention. So it is all doable, but we need to take a different approach to how we get old in this country. And in active retirement, getting old does not mean sitting in the armchair or blocking a bed or being written off.
Yeah, and now that you were talking about strategies, now the DCU has made itself an age-friendly university.
And that's there right, also, it has.
And there was a member over from, it was from Phoenix, Arizona in America, and they were looking at this strategy and they were trying to put it the same model to work in Phoenix. How that went ahead, I don't know.
Yeah, I was actually at a fabulous program out in DCU. It is a European, cross-European project where they were looking at older people as experts in their own field. And that could be the field of foraging, or it could, pardon the pun on that one, or it could be the field of building committees or running stuff in your local community. But it was recognizing older people for the skills and knowledge and experience that they have, rather than for the burden that they're perceived to be.
Yes, and maybe in years gone by, there was always the grandma, and she was to sit in the car by the fire when the fire would be lit, or to sit in the at the window during the winter, the summer, and that type of thing, and not to move, just to shuffle about. But that day is long since gone. We have grandmothers who were doing marathons, and we grandmothers are doing all sorts of things, and there was a woman we had on. I think it was last week or the week before, she was surviving cancer, and she was doing 180 squats a day, and doing all sorts of things. She had a personal trainer, right? And it was the Sarah Blue organization she was in, and it's amazing what she could do. Now, we're not all going to get to that level of stuff, but at least we can be a bit active.
But we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And certain people made me terribly active with doing things and planting flowers and doing whatever. But some of them are very good at, secretarial work. And there's all sorts of things you can be doing, you know. And there's all sorts of...
There is. And we have lots of groups and around the country, and a lot of them are doing absolutely tremendous work. We have a lot of men's groups, and they have singing groups. And it's wonderful. It really is.
Yeah, and there's men's sheds, and there's all sorts of things going on which are beneficial not only to themselves, but to the entire community and the country in general, as such. And, you know, to use derogatory, that's the best word I can come up with at the moment, derogatory language with regard to their age, it seems to be madness. Now, other cultures like the Chinese now, they revere their elderly. And they'll do all sorts of things for them, you know. And but they're not determined as a burden as such, but they're the same as an asset.
Well, you see, that is, again, it's about how the value that's put on people in society. And if you have a society that values the contribution that you make as a human being, that's a far better society than a society that only values what you can do when you're earning and what sort of a job you've got. And unfortunately, when that's at the basis of your values in society, then particularly older people tend to lose out and get written out.
Yeah, well, that reminds me of a certain country I was in, and where money is the only god, you know. And if you can't produce that, you can be downtrodden on entirely, you know. And the older you get, the less inclined you are, whereas the less ability you have to make money. As such, and
I know, but there's other things you contribute besides just money, you know. And if value was replaced on the amount of time our older people give towards their families and their communities, I'm telling you, we'd be looking at a completely different type of economy.
Yeah, but sure, the whole country would collapse if it wasn't for volunteerism.
Exactly.
Yeah, and. You know, whether it's in sport or whatever, and you know, this is, we're doing very, very well in sport at the moment. But then again, if you're very inclined to sport younger, at least when you get older, you might be able to run the mile. But you're able to do this, that, and the other, and put out the flags and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, and you're availing the entire community and your club or whatever it is you're an asset to them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and that's exactly the way we need to be looking at our aging population, as assets.
Yes, and not liabilities. But to get back to the one word that started it all, bed blocker.
Let's get rid of the word bed blockers.
And of course, now, you know, in an equal society, everything has to be equal, but we know what is anything isn't equal. The carers as such, and the professional carers, and they're cut back the time. I know we did quite a lot of programs on it, and in some cases they were given 20 minutes to get a person up, showered and dressed. Now, an impossible task. Now, even with a semi-well person, it'd take a lot more than that. And this was the time allocated, you know, and it was all dependent on relatives and all sorts of things. And the state was getting it, but now it's improved a bit. But it can be.
But it is. No, you're right. It's very difficult. I mean, there are horrendous cases of people getting 15 minutes or a half an hour here, you know, in order for them to be able to come in and get somebody up, dressed, out. and able to make sure that they can contribute towards their day, because that's what it's all about, is providing that piece of care that enables somebody who isn't all that able-bodied to be able to get on with their day and contribute to a good life. You know, it's not an awful lot to ask for, and unfortunately, the system of the care packages and the home care packages and the home care hours, it's a system that's failing, and it is being cut and reduced.
Yes, and yeah, and then of course the carers themselves are very badly paid, and they're going to get fewer and fewer and fewer, and quite a lot of foreign nationals are very, very, very good at this type of thing.
Absolutely,
they're more dependent on them than ever, and now they're extremely qualified and all that type of thing. And some of them,
of course, they are.
Their English is maybe the best, you know. They speak in English, but they're speaking English with a different tone of language, you know, and that's a person, a real Dublin person, might be able to stand, or a person from West Cork or whatever.
I suppose we just have to be careful here not to be seen, not to be only ageist, but also to be racist.
We're anything but racist, I can tell you that, because these people contribute a hell of a lot to the care of elderly people, and they're inclined in their own country. It was a way of life.
And it's not an easy job, caring. Caring is a hard job, you know, and it needs to be valued, and a lot more value put on it. And I think it's a sad reflection that in the last couple of weeks we've had, you know, older people being called bed blockers, and we've had the awful scandals that are in the creches. So we're not taking care of our young children, our babies, and we're not taking care of our older people. And it is really sad.
Yes, and but that's starting very, very early at the creches. I presume I know the program you refer to, and but now with other things. Now you were talking about the active retirement, and you know the active retirement now, it's been flagged not too long ago by various political parties, that the Christmas bonus would be cut, and that the fiver that we got last year wouldn't be repeated this year, and some of the rowing back from that a little bit. I don't know whether they were flying a kite or what, to see what had happened. A fiver on top of a pension, any increase is better than nothing. Yeah, now should be welcome.
Well, that.
To take it away is another thing.
Yeah, well, you see, this is the cost of living is getting quite high as well. You know, and there have been VAT increases on things like, you know, hairdressing and the tourism trade. But what I would say to you though is that we in Active Retirement Ireland have been lobbying the government to increase the pension in line with the average industrial wage. And that's a fairly standard measure, you know, that your pension should be around a third or 30% of the average industrial wage. Mm-hmm. That would bring the pension up, not by a huge amount more, but at least it would be done in line with an affordable living wage for older people. You know, and, we must remember that for a majority of older people, the state pension is their only source of income.
Yeah, well, it's 85%.
That's all you have. Like, that is what they have, and that's what they live on. And they do stretch it well, and they manage it well.
Oh, yes, and, you know, they have to manage it well. And now, of course, this weather, the weather's gorgeous and it's nice and warm and you won't need any heat. But that can turn around very quickly.
Oh, absolutely. We don't... Yeah, it'll be... You know, when you're an older person relying on the fuel allowance to buy you the bit of fuel, the summers are short. They're short enough.
Yeah, well,
and even at that, the fuel allowance is only paid for... you know, for 20, 26, 28 weeks mm-hmm. of the year.
Yeah, and these are all sorts of things now. Yeah, I presume you have you've made up your wish list for the budget as such?
Or? We did, yes. We gave the Department of Social Protection our pre-budget submission back in June so that they would have it for doing up their estimates in mm-hmm. July. So hopefully we will see some gains in the budget in October for our members. Our pre-budget submissions are done based on consultation with the members around the country. So what you see in our pre-budget submission is what members are genuinely asking for. And they're not asking for an awful lot.
Yes, and, you know, the like I say, it's getting more of us. And, you know, the cake is only so big. But you're hopeful that you will at least get something of what you asked for.
Well, we do. We hope that they will continue to see that the increasing the pension in line with 30% of the industrial wage is, and have it index linked, is a way to secure an income for the majority of older people.
Yeah, well,
and it's not just giving a fiver and taking away a fiver.
Yeah, index link is essential, I think.
Absolutely
essential. Yeah. And, you know, we were promised that by 2013 we're going to get €300 a week and all sorts of things that were...
we're a bit behind
the
that
score. And the such, but... The pension is, it's not too, the budget, I mean, it's not too far away, and it's only a couple of months.
No, the 9th of October, now it'll be coming out.
That'll be in very quickly, I can tell you.
Absolutely.
October. Now, Maureen, I'd like to thank you for coming on and give us
not
an
at all. You're insight, very welcome.
An insight. And we'll be back to you again, maybe around budget time, and see how you did.
All right, that'll be great. Thank you very much.
Okay, morning.
All
bye.
Right.
Bye.
Good evening. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.